And the State of Origin series will go to a decider in Brisbane on July 13 after a New South Wales demolition job, 44-12 over Queensland in Game 2 in Perth. And Origin will dominate discussion on the Big Sports Breakfast this morning. Jared Middleton, Laurie Daly and Michael Clark are taking a well-earned week off. So Matt Burke, Jamie Rogers, Ryan Phelan subbed in this morning. Great to be with you. Good morning, JR. Good morning, Berkey. Well, what about that from New South Wales? A massive turnaround in from Game 1, and you would have to say vindication for Fred Fittler and a dominant performance from New South Wales.
It wasn't it, from a New South Wales bias point of view, absolutely. The game was, again, the game was high-skilled, high-paced. You see what fatigue does to players, and at that level there, when Queensland were down to 12 men at one stage there for that 10 minutes, repeat sets of six. Fatigue is such an element, and a one-on-one miss means so much in this game. Look, it's great that the contest goes to a third game in Queensland at the home of sort of rugby league. Brilliant. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be great.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one, though. Queensland have won the past five deciders up at Suncorp, but it was great to see Nathan Cleary, who copped so much criticism off the back of his performance in Game 1, where they said he was outplayed by Cameron Munster, and he had an absolute masterclass. He had two tries, he had six tackle busts, ran for 68 metres. It was just great to see Jake Trbojevic back into the fold. I thought that he was outstanding. But it was almost a tale of two halves. The first half, it was really close. The defence was outstanding on both sides. And then, as you mentioned, Berkey, that fatigue off the back of Felice Kaufusi being simbined in the 38th
minute. Well, it did look like, I reckon, it looked like, and the boys were saying it last night on the commentary, it looked like Queensland were the more dangerous team. When Munster got the ball in his hand, you always sat there and went, wow, something's going to happen here. And was it survival for New South Wales in that first half? And I think one of the boys mentioned at one stage there, just the hanging over your head that we have to win this game. And sometimes in that stage where you have to do something, you can play within yourself. And fear becomes a motivator rather than being relaxed. Then they threw it round. And there was great ball movement last night. I thought it was, there was one pass there in the second half. Brian To'o, after a long kick down by Cherry Evans, like sort of broke a tackle and did a reverse flick out to, I think it was Crichton. Mm. And I think Joey said, "Oh my God, Freddie's fallen off his chair." You don't do that in Origin, but they had the what I'm talking about, the kahunas, if that's the case, to chance their hand and have a crack.
You touched on Nathan Cleary. Let's add to that 24 points he scored, which I think is only second to Ryan Girdler as far as total points scored in a match in New South Wales. You talk about bounce back factor. There was a lot of criticism around Nathan Cleary in Game 1, as you mentioned, Jamie, but he just absolutely dominated last night. I thought they got it right from Game 1 to Game 2, just giving Cleary a little bit more line time. I thought Matt Burton just adding that extra kick ability in the game, I think, took a bit of pressure off Nathan Cleary's shoulders. I thought Jerome Luai ran the line at various times. So they just seem to have a lot more potency in some of their key plays and playmakers during that game, which certainly put Queensland on the back foot. Brian To'o, as you mentioned as well. Yeah. I mean, what a performance from him. James Tedesco was incredible.
He was everywhere.
Well,
he was everywhere.
Matt Burton on debut. I mean, what a debut for this young man. So I think Freddie got it right. I mean, there was a lot of criticism with the wholesale changes that Freddie made ahead of Game 2. And we thought, hang on, we only lost by 6 points in the first game, New South Wales. That's throwing the baby out with the bathwater. But it was a much more balanced side.
But also what we saw, it's an exact repeat of what he did in 2019. They lost Game 1, they went to Perth, and Freddie made 7 changes. And interestingly, it was the exact same scoreline as the margin of what we saw in 2019. So the question was, did he panic or were they necessary changes? And Freddie has come out and shown that the changes were correct and the result that we saw last night.
I think what it highlights is that as punters, we know nothing about the selection process that goes on and how the makeup of what it is. We can always have an opinion of who you think's playing. And when the Fox scored those three tries a couple of weeks ago for Canterbury, I should say, the Bulldogs, I thought he's got to be a shoe-in. Like, he has to be back in that spot for that potency. But again, you have this opinion, but whether or not that fits the makeup of the team is the other part of it. The big one that I noticed last night, and Matt Burton coming in, and that little right to left shift for To'o to score, just the good hands. There's that thing they talk about in sport is cohesion, and it can be measured in how it works in amongst team. And it goes back to, you know, kids growing up together and playing. And that Panthers connection last night was so strong. Mm. Even though Burton has been out of that system for, what, you know, thereabouts of 12 months now, I suppose, it showed that he hasn't lost that connection. He knew when Cleary was going to dab that through, and you saw him just gas it on the angle to pick up that that play and that ball there. And good hands to pick up and score the try. Understanding of what your partner is going to do is so strong.
44-12 is dominant. When you think about the players that weren't available for selection for New South Wales, Tom Trbojevic, Latrell Mitchell, Jack Whiten, Ryan Pappenhuisen. Mm. I mean, they would all be selected if they were fit. That just goes to show how scary this New South Wales side could be. They are now favourites for Game 3. So that's a complete swing around on what we saw in the betting ahead of Game 2. So with TAB, New South Wales now $1.67, Queensland $2.20. You mentioned it, Jamie. They have such a great strike rate in Game 3 decider up there in Queensland. So it's game on.
Do you tinker with it if Latrell Mitchell comes back and performs well when he returns for South Sydney? Does he then slot into the side, or does Freddie Fittler now keep this winning team to stick with that loyalty? And
I think if Latrell's available and fit, you pick him.
Yeah,
you have
over
to.
Whom? Crichton? Or is he? Are they the same sides?
No, I think he plays on the other side, doesn't
he? Right side, wouldn't he, Crichton?
Yes.
Last night, yeah. It's a hard one. It's a massively hard one because you have this talent that hasn't played for a while, has been injured, and when Demetrio a couple of weeks ago said, you know, we're going to hold him back from that point of view because you're not having played a game where if you haven't played for 6 or 7 weeks, you know, your lungs are busting. It doesn't matter how much work you do off the field. There's nothing like playing a game for that fitness. And at that level there, when you've got the opposition that you need to be able to slow down, have an effect on them. Ponga was great last night. When he slipped outside,
he was about
there,
Queensland's
he was their
only
best,
good
yeah.
player.
When he slipped outside Crichton yesterday, you just saw how quick he was, and again it was Munster just throwing his hand. What about Munster cleaning up that ball and popping it off to one of the boys, one of the back rowers under pressure? Like he's found a new level, I reckon, at the moment. Of skill and confidence in these big games. Quite incredible.
Let's talk about the controversy of the sin binning of Felice Kaufusi just before half-time.
Is it controversial?
I was about to say, is it controversial?
Yes, it is controversial. When you give away 16 penalties underneath in your own 10-metre line, someone's got to go.
I'll tell you why it's controversial. Because history of State of Origin suggests put the whistle away. And Ashley Klein last night was whistle-happy compared to Game 1. There was a lot more penalties blown last night. Okay, to the letter of the law in State of Origin in regular NRL for repeated infringements, and Daly Cherry Evans made the point they weren't for the same thing, but there were back to back sets of six awarded in the lead up to that sin binning of Felice Kaufusi. But I want some consistency with the inconsistency.
Sure.
I'm saying.
Yeah, okay.
And yes, to the letter of the law, Felice Kaufusi had to be sin bin for 10 minutes, but it changed the game. It wiped Queensland out. That defensively, they had to do so much more in a high-octane paced game, and then they just had nothing in the tank for the second
but
half.
But wasn't that their own device, though? Because as a player, you get told, do not give away four points. Whatever it counts, hold them down, push them down, give away that penalty. And if you're going to give repeated penalties, there has to be some kind of detriment to it. And look, I understand. I've been, you know, watched Origin since I've been a kid. I understand that the whistle gets put away. But for the sake of a game to be played, you need to have some kind of rules in place. I understand that. And most of the rules, I understand the high shots. You know, Cleary's on report for that shot that he put on Ponga as well. I think that'll just get sort of wiped away. That was just a good shot. What did Joey say last night? What is he on report for tackling too hard? I thought that was fantastic. But at that point in the game, New South Wales should have scored. and they gave away penalty after penalty after penalty after penalty. And so I understand, and as a captain, you do. You put the pressure on the on the referee to say, hey, mate, you know, understand the environment we're in, and you don't do that. But if you're going to give away that many penalties, someone has to pay the price. Mm. And Kaufusi was just that person at that time.
It'll be very easy for the referees to defend the decision.
Yep.
And I think to the letter of the law, you really can't argue with it. I just think in the overarching scheme of things with State of Origin, that just, for me, didn't fit well. And I think it absolutely changed the context of the game.
And also,
it
that's
changed
when
the context of the game, absolutely.
And all the conspiracy theories started coming out because Freddie Fittler had met with Ashley Klein after game one. And everyone was saying that's because Fittler got into his ear. But rules are rules. I'm with you, Berkey. And Felice Kaufusi was doing the wrong thing. He was slowing down the ruck on his own goal line and...
But from a coach's point of view, though, that's what you do. Mm. From a coach's point of view, you're in the media during the week and you're putting pressure. So you're playing your own game outside of that 80 minutes that goes on the park there. You're putting pressure on the referees about playing a certain style, a certain way, knowing, you know, all through the week there was those five plays that they highlighted about, you know, how Queensland got away with it, slowing the ruck down, the play the ball. So... all of a sudden, you know, it is in the back of your mind, and as much as the referees can referee the game to the letter of the law, they have that little sort of, you know, thing in the back of their head that it was I remember from last time. So, look, it will be controversial because, you know, how many sin bins have we had in Origin over its period of time? Hardly any, but I reckon that, you know, if you're going to do something like that, someone has to pay the price.
Optus Stadium in Perth, 60,000 fans, you would say success. But that surface last night was dreadful.
Yes.
It was
so
dreadful.
Slippery.
Look, I know
as well.
There was, you mentioned
a little bit
earlier,
of rain early in the week.
Berkey, there was rain earlier in the week. But that looked like, in, to use racing terms, that was a slow seven. When you're seeing players like Teddy Tedesco, who are so sublime with their footwork and agility, that you know, they can step left, right. He was slipping over like he, you know, he was picking up a piece of soap in the bath.
Yeah.
You know, I think it really affected, I guess, the quality of the game at times. I'd be interested to see what the players thought about it. You've got a rugby test happening there this weekend. What did you
roll
think
on,
about
roll
that?
Roll on 7 days, and there's a test between Australia and England there, and that scrum, that turf is going to get ripped up. I mean, you go to Perth for a hard track, you know, like
you would have thought so.
One would have thought so. That rain, I don't know if there was something wrong with the pitch because I don't think the groundskeepers were all over that because that was a mess. And you're right, slipping over. Mm. And there was, you know, when Cleary went step and went straight through and we saw two blokes just fall over the ground. I think it was Ponga at the fullback and he literally, it was like watching a cartoon, wasn't it? Mm. You know, both banana skins and fell out. They need to get that right, absolutely, for next week. But I'll pose the question. When you go to a game, you don't take one pair of boots with you. You know what I mean? So these blokes are professional. I used to take four pairs of boots with me to adapt the conditions. So you'd have your slick little molders if it's a rock hard track. Blades were coming into the game when I was. That's how old I am. And then you had two pairs of studded boots. So the studs go into the ground, and there's hybrid sort of, you know, boots these days. And, you know, maybe at half time they could have, you know, rearranged their equipment, but certainly. It was a difficult track to play on last night. There was just too many people falling over.
And then, Jamie, there's the question of preparation of who got it right and who got it wrong because, of course, Brad Fittler on the New South Wales team spent the entire week there where the Queensland side and Billy Slater only went over on Thursday. The 44-12 scoreline would maybe suggest that Queensland did not get that right.
Yeah, but it is also hard because, as we were saying, they were gassed in that second half off the back of fatigue. So, and also, I think we also need to remember, guys, Ruben Cotter is going to be returning. Well, you would imagine will return to that side off the back of being injured. So, whilst, yes, the scoreline was enormous and New South Wales blew Queensland out of the park, I think we need to factor in fatigue and also the fact that they were missing Ruben Cotter, Xavier Coates, and those two, you would imagine, will be back on the side.
At the end of the day, who was the dominant team? Was New South Wales the dominant team? I think they were, and I think they showed at the end. Albeit there was an element of fatigue that went in there because of the sin binning, but if you look at the key positions, New South Wales outplayed Queensland.
Also, just quickly, do you think Cameron Smith, you know how he was on TV yesterday and he said that the reason why Queensland won game one is because they have that more, they're more passionate, they want to win more than the Blues. And I watched that, I was like, you just know how to get under the skin of the New South Wales side, and out we come and blitz them.
Well, it's getting interesting ahead of game three now, as I mentioned. New South Wales are now the new favourites for the decider, $1.67. Queensland, $2.20. A break. Newspaper headlines are next. And naturally, State of Origin dominates the headlines this morning. The all-important player rankings from the Daily Telegraph. Let's go through those, and we'll focus on New South Wales. As you would expect, James Tedesco ranking highly. He scored an 8. Brian To'o scoring an 8. You could make a case that they might have even been able to score a bit higher. Matt Burton an 8. Stephen Crichton 5. Daniel Tupou 7. Jerome Luai 6. Nathan Cleary a 9. What a performance it was from him. Well deserved there. Payne Haas 7. For me, I thought he looked a little bit quieter there last night, but still a good score for him. Appy Korosiou, didn't he bring a lot? 7 for him. Jake Trbojevic, I think he could have scored a bit higher, but they've given him a 7. I thought he was terrific. Just defensively how he tightened them up last night.
He certainly, and you mentioned before, Jamie, with his involvement in the game, it shored up that middle section. And then it also, it gave Cleary that ability to go forward with the ball. As simple as that. You want your playmakers going forward. And the forward pack last night gave that stance to be able to, I suppose, allow the backs to play.
Cameron Murray got a 6. Liam Martin a 6. Isaiah Yeo a 7. Damien Cook 5. I think that's a bit tough considering the amount of time he had on the field. Angus Crichton 5. Junior Paulo 6. I thought he was much better there last night. Running for 129 metres, and CSC for Talakai, a 4. The highest-ranking player for Queensland, as you would expect, Callum Ponga with the 7, and no one in the Queensland side. In fact, no, sorry, Cameron Munster a 7 as well. So not a performance to remember for Queensland, but certainly a high-scoring one for New South Wales.
Buzz Rothfield is reporting in today's Daily Telegraph, and he will be on the show after 7 o'clock, is that the Panthers have booked a lunch-in with Cameron Serraldo's manager, and they're expected to agree on a one-year extension for him, and this is off the back of Serraldo's decision to reject the big money 5-year deal for the West Tigers head coaching job.
As a, it's interesting as an outsider looking in for that. You know, would you go to a club that's struggling off the field as well more than anything else? And sometimes you know, money is not the be all and end all. You know, you go to a place then you think, wow, I've get this head coaching role, but the mess you have to clean up won't make it worthwhile. I think he's making the smart choice there. And even Cleary has said he'll be a head coach at one stage there, just not. And the two clubs, Canterbury and even the Tigers at the moment, the Bulldogs Tigers, you know, it's a, as a coach, I don't reckon you would touch them.
And Berkey, in the Sydney Morning Herald, an article where they're asking a number of prominent Wallabies just about who should be picked ahead of the test against England, which starts this weekend in Perth. Obviously, injuries are a concern, but the major contention is who will play at number 10.
The 10 role.
Yeah, what do you think about the selections that and what will happen?
That is an interesting one. Quade Cooper came back last year, was outstanding. They played 2 games against the world champion Springboks. They won those. If you remember the one up on the coast, he kicked a goal to win the game. And then they went on to win another one as well. So the back of that, Kurevi, didn't go on that end of season tour to play the European teams. And consequently, the Australians lost those games. Those players are back along with Marika Korobetti. So that'll be a start. I think he'll get the number 10 role. And the other contentious part is that who plays 15. Now, Banks is in line from the ACT. They're talking about Jordan Petaia. I think James O'Connor might slip into fullback role. I think he'll miss out on the 10 role, and Noel Olesia might be on the bench as well. So options to choose from, that's the biggest one. But Taniela Tupou is also struggling with his calf injury. Now, he plays up in the front row there, big human. Will need to be fit to get on the track, obviously, to play against what's going to be a big English side that Eddie Jones is bringing out.
Big show coming up this morning on the Big Sports Breakfast. Heroes and villains. We want you to send them in to us this morning. You can SMS 0419 767 272 and also the open line number 1353 53. There's already a couple coming in. This one from Grumpy the Farrier. Todd Smith is the hero. He knows how to referee representative in international football fairly. Villain, Ashley Klein, for ruining a great game by blowing unfair penalties. So they're already starting to come in about State of Origin. So keep them coming. We've got a big show with a lot of regular guests and terrific new guests this morning. Buzz Rothfield will be on just after 7. Roger Rashid as well to talk about Wimbledon, which will be kicking off tonight. Looking forward to talking to both of those gentlemen. Adam Pengelly will be talking rugby league and also the weekend's racing. So keep them coming in, those heroes and villains. Peter Mortimer will join us in the final hour, the Bulldogs legend as well, and we'll be talking football with our regular Phil Moss a little bit later, closer towards the end of the program. Matt Burke and Jamie Rogers in with me, Ryan Phelan, this morning, filling in for Middo, Loz and Clarkey. You're taking a well-earned break. It's the Big Sports Breakfast this Monday. Stay with us throughout the morning.